My God, should I wake the dog up?
Did I wake the dog up?
No, should I wake the dog up?
I don't know. It's kind of a nice intro to the show.
Really? To just listen to him snore? Sounds like either a chainsaw or someone has eaten some really bad food. I don't know.
I feel like it's sort of, if you're listening to us for the first time, oh, is this show going to be any good? Well, someone's snoring in the background.
I'll tell you everything you need to know.
Right. It's sort of like I went to go see The Lady Killers, the Coen Brothers, Tom Hanks movie. The movie was so bad, the guy three rows ahead of me fell asleep, was snoring, and nobody bothered to wake him up because they're just like, what's the point? Is this going to get better? So it did not. Yeah. So I think it's a nice touch. Is he still, I haven't heard him there. Is he doing all right?
Oh, yeah. No,
he's out.
Just all take a breath. Just
perfect.
It's just chilling out.
Yeah, do you need a mirror? You just need to hold in front of his nose to make sure.
His belly. His belly is so big. It's hard not to tell.
Don't shame him. You're going to give him a complex.
I don't shame him. No, I have a no fat shaming the dog rule.
Well, what if he's listening to the show? He's going to hear you saying you just look at his fat stomach go up and down. And
but that's a good thing. I know he's alive.
Right. But if he's on the treadmill, is that going to make it better because he thinks he's like running over your face as he's trying to get fitter? Because no, let's be honest, Dave totally has him on a treadmill, right?
Pretty much.
Can't we get them to sponsor the show?
This is Why, with your hosts, Heidi Hedquist and Luke Poling.
Food for dogs, accessories for dogs.
Dog designer diets, which would be great because we could get Captain here early on in his journey.
I know. You could get a before and after picture. Uh-huh. Like the black and white, and he looks all sad in the before and then all shiny. Yeah. How are you doing on the captain's hat search? Found one yet?
No, I need to look. I want him to have a full sailor outfit.
I see. Have you bought anything for him yet as far as clothing goes? No.
I have not.
Have you tried any Ringo stuff on him? Or are you afraid he's going to blow out the seat of the pants?
No, I think he actually probably be okay because he's okay. Like, I mean, the life jacket. He has worn the life jacket.
Well, he went out boating, I'm presuming.
He did.
Yeah, of course.
He's a seafaring captain. What do you expect?
Right. What kind of idiot would put on a life jacket on land?
Well, true. I do think he needs. He does need a sailor suit, though, because my brother and I, there is a, like, we were going through photo albums at his house before my newest nephew was born, which happened yesterday. Mm. Very exciting.
Oh, congratulations. What's his name?
Landon.
Okay. Landon. Cody. What's the middle name?
Cody, which is my brother's name.
Right. Okay. Has he listened to the show yet?
Maybe, because my brother's an avid listener.
Okay, because we're not, I don't want to say hi to him until I know he's listening.
Well, that's true. Maybe we should wait.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, you were saying Captain needs a full sailor suit.
Yes, because when we were waiting for Landon to arrive, we were going through old photo albums that my brother had at his house that hadn't been opened in probably 20 years.
Right.
And now, granted, I had, I was a Laura Ashley girl, so I had the Laura Ashley full sailor outfit. Much like Fergie, like original Fergie, not just of York Fergie. Yeah.
Right. Not the one with the bridge. Right. No.
And my brother had multiple sailor outfits that he was photographed in through the years.
Ahoy.
There was a whole lot of, and this was, my brother was born in 84. So.
Now, does your family spend a lot of time on the ocean?
Okay, so in fairness,
comparing to the amount of nautically themed wardrobe that you and your sibling owned at the time.
So one contingent of our family, like my stepmom's family, his mom's family, our grandpa was the commodore of a yacht club and had a boat.
Sure.
There's also the aunt and uncle on the other side of the family that have the pontoon Hooter Hunter.
Right. Your uncle, the cow.
Yes. So right. I did have my stint sailing, but that was much older.
Right.
But no. No, we were
You've hung out with sailors, is what you're saying. You just hung out with
sailors. Yes, okay. I have.
I see.
But no. Like the I mean, we were horse people. Like you
right,
said,
but I'm just saying
Olin Mills. Did they have Olin Mills where you lived, or is that in Michigan?
No, I don't know what that is.
Olin Mills was the photography studio in the 70s and 80s where everyone would go get their photos done, and they would have the right. different backdrops, like the Snow White
lasers. Pictures. Sure, yeah.
And so, you know, library books.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had seen us in our, you know, where they'd have your picture and then they'd have the other picture of you with the other.
Yep, sure. Yeah. Yeah.
So if you had seen us in our like cowboy attire, our English hunting garb, that would have made sense. We were horse people.
Right.
The sailor outfits, not so much.
Okay. Because I was wondering if you like, if you ever, here's my question about owning sailors, plural, yeah. outfits.
Yes.
Did you ever have a to-do, because I feel like that's what we would call it, where the invitation is, I'm assuming, delivered by hand. I don't know why I'm picturing that. And you opened it and your mother or someone else in the family saw this and said, egads, we would love to go when we are available, but our sailor suits are not clean. You know what I mean? Like, how often overseas adventures did you need? Let me finish. How many overseas adventures did you have to get invited to before you were like, we need to have the servants wash our, can someone please answer that? And wash our suits.
I don't even
know. It's inside the house, I'll tell you
I
that.
I don't know, is it? Because I don't know what that would be. It's inside somebody's house.
But right. House. But you know what I'm saying? When do you run out of sailor suits?
Well, I think we had enough for quite a few to-dos. Because I had the white Laura Ashley suit.
Right, sure.
Mm-hmm. And then I had another Laura Ashley that was turquoise with polka dots, which I actually wore to a regatta. I wore that to Henley Royal Regatta. And I also wore it to get pictures taken with my brother when I had an epic Euro mullet. That was modeled after Catherine Oxenberg.
How old were you then? Just for the listeners to get an image.
I was 10.
Now, the company was started by your dad, right?
It was actually my granddad.
Okay.
Yeah, my grandfather back in 1970.
So he started the business by borrowing $300 and then buying unclaimed luggage from a Trailways bus terminal. How did he know that that was a thing you could do?
It's a good question. Yeah, so he was kind of unassuming background. He was an insurance salesman at the time, and he was a big ham radio guy. If you guys remember ham radios, mm-hmm. he got up early every morning and talked to his buddies all around the world. And one of his buddies tipped him off that Trailways bus lines, as you mentioned, up in Washington, D.C., had a backload of or backlog of bags building up. And so, you know, the entrepreneurial person that he was, he, like you said, borrowed $300 and a pickup truck and just drove all the way up from Alabama to D.C. and made a deal, picked up the first load of unclaimed bags, and then brought them back down. Actually, in the first days, just rented out an empty house and started selling the contents of the unclaimed luggage on card tables. And it was a Saturday only thing, family business. And it just hit the ground running. People loved it. And so they then expanded from there, and they got their first airline deal a few years after that. And then over the decades grew and brought more and more airlines on. And today our retail store spans an entire city block. It's around 50,000 square feet. Wow. So,
and it was just a success from the beginning going forward, that it never was I don't know if this is going to work. TWA is not feeling it.
Yeah, no, I mean, the first Saturday that they opened, they, I think, sold out of all their merchandise that day. So,
wow.
I mean, from that point on, he knew that he was onto something, and he quit his job as an insurance salesman shortly thereafter, and you know, kind of decided to go for it full time. So
yeah,
I have these visions of that first
sale at the house, at the abandoned house, and all the local garage sales in the neighborhood just being livid because here's this amazing treasure trove of random stuff that would like put them all out of the water.
Yeah, it's like the ultimate garage sale, right? It's you know, as you can imagine, pretty much anything that would be in a bag on a plane has come to us. So I mean, people have found some crazy stuff throughout the years, like obviously your traditional stuff that you would bring on a plane, electronics, clothes, shoes, jewelry. And then there's always just unusual things that we end up finding.
How much stuff do you normally get out of one suitcase? I mean, I feel like you flip one open, there's going to be a beat up Grisham, some used makeup, maybe some scuffed shoes. What do you keep out of, how much stuff stays?
Depends on if it's a bag from the outgoing trip or the return journey, right? You can typically tell those right off the bat which leg of the journey it was on. Just a quick smell of the bag and gives you a kind of an indication. So you know, if it's a either way, we break it out. We say it's typically like a third, a third, a third. So a third of the merchandise kind of passes what we would consider our quality standards and we sell in the store. And then a third of it gets thrown away or recycled as much as possible. And then a third we donate, actually. So
gets
we have
turned over to the authorities. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, I donate it.
Yeah. Lots of drugs.
And, yeah.
Yeah. So a third of it we actually donate through our nonprofit called Reclaim for Good. So we have a number of charity partners across the country and internationally that we have found ways to, you know, bring kind of a new life to some items that wouldn't necessarily meet the standards to be able to sell them, right?
How often have you had someone come through the doors of the actual store and go, oh my God, that's mine. I haven't seen that in years. How did you get this?
You know, it happens every once in a while that people see something they think might be theirs. It's pretty rare. And, you know, try to be careful about that because we wouldn't want to give the wrong thing back to somebody and then end up with issues there. Or, you know, in most cases, it's actually that person has been paid out claims by the airline. So the way it works is, you know, you lose your bag, didn't pick it up at the carousel, or like a tag got ripped off and so they couldn't track it back to you. They go on like a full 3-month intense search process to try to get it back. And it's only after that period of time that they pay out, well, I guess they would pay out a claim at some point in that process to compensate the passenger for their stuff. And then at that point, like it's technically legally their property. So we buy the bags in bulk from them at that point. So you would also run into issues there if, you know, we gave somebody stuff they've already been compensated for. It's, right. You know, potentially fraudulent situation as well.
Yeah, that's not good. So. Yeah.
Is there an airline that has better stuff than others? I mean, let's be honest. Frontier is just a dumpster fire, correct?
Hey, we're not going to name any airlines. They're all great. They all do a great job. So,
what is that feeling like the first time you open a bag? Like that moment before you flip the switches, what does that feel like? It has to feel, I don't know, it has to feel kind of crazy.
Well, it's a treasure hunt, right? Like
right.
That's what we call our bag openers. They're treasure hunters. And I mean, to me, it's the most exciting job at the company. Like every day they're going through bags and never know what they'll find. Right. And so we actually in our retail store every day, we do what we call the baggage experience, where we give a guest that opportunity to do that exact thing. We take a bag, it's never been opened before, and they get to go through it and see what they find. And, you know, obviously we ahead of time make sure there's nothing dangerous or illegal in it, but other than that, like it's the stuff. You know, if you get over to the store at some point, you'll get a chance to, you know, put your name in the hat and get to go through a bag yourself.
What is the strangest thing you have personally ever found? We can bleep you if it
I haven't found anything too terribly crazy myself. I have my things that I look for. You know, I'm a sunglass junkie, or, you know, I can't walk by certain categories without without snagging something. But over the years, our team members have found, like, a live rattlesnake is one of my favorites. It makes me cringe every time. Like, can you imagine opening a bag and there's, like, a rattle and then something, you know, snaps at you?
Yeah.
That one was pretty crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Found, like, some really expensive jewelry. We had a 40-carat emerald one time. We've had, like, several bracelets were in, like, the $50,000 to $100,000 range. Wow. Just makes you, you know, wonder what these people were up to flying. So,
right.
Yeah, crazy, like, stuff.
I would feel like there's some sort of, like, the there can be a sadness to this. Or am I just feeling melancholy? Like, the sense of this is somebody's plans, if one either going somewhere or coming back, but, like, you can make a story out of this, and here's this just sad display of something. Or is it always just, look, here's a bunch of fun souvenirs from Tahiti? Don't know why I said Tahiti.
Well, but I mean, the way that I like to think about it, yeah, it's the way I like to think about it is, one, you know, if somebody's lost something, they've been compensated by the airline for it, so, you know, they're taken care of. And then at that point, you know, instead of it going to, like, a landfill or sitting in a warehouse somewhere, like, we're able to repurpose it and, you know, in effect, give it a new life. And so I think when the store, we stock like 7,000 new items a day. So it's, you know, creating that treasure hunt experience for people to come from all over the country. And then, you know, like I said, with Reclaim for Good, able to donate, you know, I think it's for every item that we sell, we donate another. So, you know, it's ultimately getting a new life and going to a good cause in some regard. So,
what are holidays like in your family? Do people open their gifts and go, "This was in a suitcase, wasn't it?"
There's some speculation for sure. Yeah, I was actually in the store with my wife yesterday, and we got married last year, and she's like, "Matt, why didn't you give me my ring from here?" And,
right.
Man, missed a great opportunity there. She was looking for something very specific, so it would have been a very lucky off chance that it would have been able to find it in the store. But
plus, that's a risk, too, because someone, I mean, that's like, obviously you married her because she's cool, but a lot of women would be like, "Wait, this is used. This was somebody else's. What if she took it off because they were having trouble? And what if it's jinxed?" So you did the right thing.
Well, we do sell like a surprising amount of wedding rings. And we've had team members at our store who've gotten their wedding ring from the store. So, you know, it's where somebody might have lost it. At least it's, you know, kind of going to something new like that as well. We have an online store now. So, you can, you know, shop thousands of new items a week, online.
Looking at your website, there are some particularly unique items on there. I saw there was a Hasidic fedora, an ostrich feather jacket, a 1950 Chevrolet automotive handbook, and a customized pool cue. That's quite a trip someone's planning.
Yeah, that's just what's listed this week.
I love that you don't even bat an eye to that. You're like, "Yeah, that's not that interesting. I've got way better stuff."
I've been in the business my whole life, right? Yeah, I've, I guess, become a bit used to it at this point.
Have you ever unpacked, like, a tiki god, like the Brady's found in Hawaii?
A tiki god? We had a...
And has bad luck befallen someone on your team because of said tiki god?
you say that. We've had, like... I don't even know what you would call it, like a stick with some kind of bone engraved head on it. We may have on our website. We have on our How It Works page, we have kind of a list of some of the items that we have had come through the years or are in our museum that may be on there, but we've had that. And then kind of along the same lines, we've had several shrunken heads that have come in before.
Oh my God.
And that's the kind of thing where you see it and you're like, "Man, just touching this, I don't know if some bad luck is gonna befall me or something."
Tell us about the museum.
So the museum's really cool. We have as you go to our store, as you walk in, there's kind of a museum area where you can see to your left, our what we lovingly refer to as our company mascot, Hoggle. So if you remember the movie Labyrinth from, I guess, the 70s or 80s when it was filmed, we have the puppet Hoggle that was used for the character in that movie, came in a couple decades ago. He was in pretty bad shape when we got him. And so, yeah, we got him refurbished, and he's now the kind of company mascot. And then walking through the store, you'll see kind of up on the walls different, you know, what we call found treasures throughout the store. So you'll see like a life-size Tinkerbell and biplane up there. We have a pair of McDonald's Golden Arches, some pretty interesting things. So it's kind of an immersive museum throughout the store.
Is there a particular destination or tourist location that seems to have more stuff than others? Like either people really like to go there or the flights out of there are just not the best?
Disney's the one that pops into my mind. Yeah, we've get more than you would know. And I guess it's, you know, parents traveling with kids from Disney and you may be running late and miss their connection and their bag. It's who knows, but a lot of Disney stuff for sure.
But is there anyone else out there trying to do what you're doing, trying to take the crown?
No, it's awesome. Kind of been us since the beginning. And yeah, it's, you know, we've had longstanding relationships with the airlines and, you know, they know us and trust us. And, you know, we've obviously kind of been good to them and they've been good to us over the years. So, yeah, I think there's kind of no reason that they would have to do anything otherwise.
That's a huge testament to what you guys are doing. I've never seen anybody not, especially with a business like that, try to, well, let's try this over here. Maybe this, you know, mix it up a little bit. Like, that's incredible.
Well, yeah. And what you guys have to understand is that, I mean, it's, as you can imagine, not an easy business model from an operations standpoint,
right?
Like, we get millions, like literally millions of items a year, and we touch each and every one of them, have to price, like put through laundry or dry clean all clothing. Like I said, clear all electronics and personal data. Like, we authenticate all luxury goods, appraise all fine jewelry. So it's very high touch. And, you know, it's taken, you know, this year's our 50th anniversary. So 50 years to kind of get to the point where we are, where we can do it efficiently, but still with quality. And that's not a very easily replicatable thing. Right. So, say that's kind of probably the reason why we're the only ones that do it. If you layer in e-commerce into that as well, I mean, you add in photography and listing and shipping, all the things that go along with e-commerce. And, you know, it's our 50th anniversary and we haven't done e-commerce until now. And that's partly why, like, it's complex. And so, you know, I've been working on for the past 18 months, standing up this e-commerce business, and we've had to work long and hard to kind of streamline and automate everything from photography to listing and everything to make it, you know, even and feasible. And I don't think I know any other businesses out there that sell kind of the breadth of product that we do across like a number of categories and all one-offs, that's able to do it online. You have your eBays and Poshmarks and things that have that stuff available, but, you know, it's individual vendors that's it's coming from, but sure. You know, from us, it's all being listed and filled and everything by us. So it's quite a job to have.
Yeah.
Given the fact that you've been doing this for 50 years, or your family's been doing this for 50 years, you've gotten a very unique look into Americans as travelers, as people, the things they value, the things they want to bring with them or want to bring back. Do you think people have gotten more mindful, maybe even just by not leaving luggage around, or have they gotten more distracted and they are leaving more luggage? Or is there something you see in a lot of bags that makes you kind of feel it like there's hope for humanity?
It definitely makes you realize certain types of things that people bring. Like, you wouldn't believe the number of jackets that we have, right? Like, we always say that you know, everybody packs a bag and they, or people bring a jacket with them and leave one on the plane. And it's crazy how many of those that come in. But I think that, you know, people have gotten more mindful of it over the years. Like the airlines have gotten a lot better at being able to catch the things that slip through the cracks and get it back to their owners.
So my takeaway from this is that everybody is listening to what their mother said. Bring a jacket. You might need it later.
Always be prepared. Yeah.
More information on the Unclaimed Baggage Center, go to unclaimedbaggage.com.
You can follow us on all the various socials. Our website is whythepodcast.com and has all sorts of additional stories and videos. It's also where you can sign up for our newsletter. We're also on YouTube, if you're into that kind of thing. And don't forget to leave us a review on iTunes, because if you don't, we'll call your mother and tell her that she's completely right. You would look so much prettier if you smiled more.
Why the Podcast is part of Mudhouse Media. Today's show was produced by myself and Heidi Hegquist. Our reluctant executive producers are John Sove and Sandy Stone. Our willing executive producers are Rachel Allen and Randy Jeanette. Our graphic designer is Samantha Mastonen. The theme song was performed by the Electrosyntho-Magnetic Polyphonic Orchestra. This one's for Philippe. Thanks for joining us. Flash, we're coming home.
Nigel, is that you? Are you here? Nigel?